Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Chuck Forrest, Mark Lowenthal, Joey Devine, Celeste DiNucci, Roger Craig, Sean Keen, Brad Rutter, Fuzzy Cohen, special guest Amy Schneider, Patreons Lee, thank you Lee, Daniil, thank you Daniil, Tyler Clark Brown, thank you Tyler, musical guest Greg Kinn, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with, of course, a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with our friend, your uncle, my uncle, America's uncle, dad, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I did spend the morning with my nephew, and there's also another baby in my apartment who I'm not related to.
Well, Sean, as long as you don't write anything down when you're hanging out with those babies, I think you're okay. You're not allowed to write anything down at the moment, because in solidarity, the WGA.
It's true. Yeah.
Sean,
I've just been actually recycling my takes from old round balls.
Yeah. Apologies if this episode is bad. It's because we lost our writers. This episode is being written by ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. It was rough.
Yeah. Sean, did you see the video? It's one of my favorite. It's my favorite video of the writer's strike so far.
Uh-huh.
Jay Leno bringing Randy's donuts to the picket line.
I did not see that. Now, I heard a rumor, Joey, and tell me if this is true, but I heard that in purchasing those donuts, it was the first time Jay Leno had touched his Tonight Show money.
That I don't know. But what I do know is everyone should watch the video because it's hilarious, because he gets out of a Tesla. First off, take your Model T to the picket line, Jay. Show those writers some fun. But secondly, yeah. He takes out the box of donuts, throws the top on the ground in the street, hands them over, and then gets back in the Tesla and drives away.
So he litters.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he does. He litters. Or leaves it for the writers to clean up. Either way. Yeah, so he litters and he gets right back in his Tesla and he goes home, Sean.
I mean, what? That's support. Did he break the strike at the Comedy Store? Is that the legend?
No, he led the strike.
Letterman organized it.
And he was so anti the writer's strike in 2009. He's in the WGA, I guess, but was writing monologue jokes because he can't help himself, because he's addicted to both old timey cars and monologues.
Do you think he was writing that all by himself?
No, of course not.
Was his wife is not named Maris, but it's something like that, right?
It's Mavis.
Mavis.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I have some off. I can tell you some things off. Oh. Mavis. Mavis is great. Seems great. Yeah. Anyway.
She's a typing tutor, I think.
Yeah.
His wife, Mavis Beacon.
Yeah.
Jay Leno's wife, Mavis Beacon.
You know who probably knows Mavis? Ben Stiller, who comes from long lineage of old timey comedy people. Let's talk about the Knicks, dude.
Yeah.
Before we do that, we haven't done this year because I am an idiot, but wait, that's not the right one. Where is it? This is what I'm looking for.
Player, turn up. Player.
How have I forgotten to play this for 2 weeks?
I don't know. I'm getting pumped, though.
Sean, the Knicks and the Heat are tied 1-1.
Oh, my God.
And, let's check in with Ben Stiller about how this series is going.
Yeah.
Just a couple of tweets from Ben Stiller. Let's go to Miami. Hashtag Knicks. Nice. Josh Hart, New York. Heart emoji. Run, son. I can take Butler doing this, not Vincent and Martin. Josh Hart, come on. Julius is back. RJ locked in.
For the Indiana Pacers today, it's all about expunging.
All right, for the Indiana Pacers today, it's all about expunging. I always forget that I left that part.
Brun, son.
Brun, son. And of course, I have nipples, Udonis Haslam. Can you milk me?
Wow, that honestly sounded like a challenge there.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean, yeah.
Is my question about Ben Stiller?
Yes.
Is very famously running the show Severance that everyone loves on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
It's the it's like, what if Ted Lasso was depressed?
At one point he was sort of my boss.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that off air too.
It's not like I interacted with him.
But is the writer's strike delaying Severance production just going to cause Ben Stiller to go deeper and deeper into Knicks mania?
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to make Escape from Dannemora 2.
No, I don't think so.
It's not realistic to think they'd escape a second time. Yeah. I didn't see that. I heard it was...
I've heard it's great.
Me too. I'm actually not sure how I would see it.
It's on Showtime, I think.
Oh, okay. That should be covered by Paramount Plus.
You can watch it after
the sponsor of our episode.
No.
Kevin Costner's getting divorced, by the way, so I wonder if they'll write that into the Yosemite
Yellowstone.
Line.
It's not the Yosemite. Yosemite is a different show.
Is Yosemite a show?
No, but if it were,
it wouldn't be quite as right wing as Yellowstone
yes,
is.
Yes,
is that what you're
what
saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
Yosemite is like a show about like aging hippies in Santa Cruz who are like having marital problems.
It's about a marriage counselor by Half Dome.
Yeah, Sean,
yeah,
is Jimmy Butler gonna be able to get healthy and beat this magical Knicks team?
I think he is, Joey.
I think he is too.
I just think he's gonna like. I mean, they didn't. He sprained his ankle and it looked horrible. And then he played for the rest of game one, and the Knicks didn't seem like they took advantage of that one bit.
Right. Yeah.
So that. To me, he seems like he has more will than anyone in this series, possibly the NBA, possibly the world.
Speaking of Jimmy Butler, real quick, Sean,
yeah.
Have you seen any of those clips of Jeff Teague on that podcast floating around today?
I haven't seen him yet.
Very incredible.
But I was ready to go deep.
I just want to say, shouts to Jeff Teague for being hilarious.
Oh, wow.
I don't know it took so long for us to learn that. But
he was in Atlanta and Indiana. That's why.
He tells the story of Jimmy Butler playing in that practice with Minnesota because Teague was on that team.
Jesus.
And he says that Jimmy Butler, while he was doing it, destroying the starters with the G Leaguers, was just shit talking the GM who was sitting in the stands the entire time screaming, "Pay me." And then at the end of the game, takes off his Jordan warmups to reveal that he's wearing a Minnesota t-shirt and a Minnesota shorts, but he has cut the Minnesota part out of them. So according to Jeff Teague, there's just a hole in his chest, square in his chest, revealing his nipples that just says Timberwolves.
How did Rachel Nichols not reveal that? That's why she's off the NBA coverage.
Then Jeff Teague describes they keep practicing and then they all take a shower, and as they're getting dressed, Rachel Nichols is then interviewing Jimmy Butler on TV.
Wait, was that fast?
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's really great. He also tells a story about how
it's amazing
how much of a bummer Bryn Forbes was during the Nets during the Nets Bucks series. Where Kevin Durant would hit a shot and then Bryn Forbes would be like, "I told y'all we can't win," like the entire time.
Jesus, come on, man.
Where Jeff Teague is like, Jeff Teague says, "I'd be up clapping, being like, come on, guys, you got this." And I didn't believe it, but I was saying it.
Man. How close do you think Jimmy Butler has clinched his jersey retirement in Miami, or does he need to win the 1984 AFC championship game for the Dolphins?
Well, he has to sell out the crypto arena to get it retired in Los Angeles.
That's
as many
true.
Times as Taylor Swift did.
Those banners are going to be blocking four of the Lakers title banners, unfortunately. That's just how it is. Who do you think is going to win that series, Joey? Oh, I had one more question. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Who is most likely to be banned from MSG for life after this series?
It's got to be Flo Rida, right?
The celebs are coming out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his manager did get banned from the Heat arena.
But he was there dressed all in Heat garb, just like totally showing, like totally talking shit to everyone at MSG.
Yeah, did his manager just take the fall there?
Probably.
what about Cash Warren?
I mean,
really famous enough.
I could see Melo somehow getting banned from the Knicks.
Yeah, that's true. It's actually more likely to be a beloved Knick than a fan.
Yeah, it's not going to be a fan from another team. It's going to be a fan of the
Knicks. It'll be like Sprewell.
Yeah,
Sprewell will come to game seven. Yeah. And like, yeah.
Okay. That's who gets banned from MSG. You're allowed to.
No.
You're just not allowed to look at James Dolan wrong.
Yeah, and Ethan Hawke claimed he was banned for critiquing the team, but have you like seen Ethan Hawke in public recently? Like, I don't know if he is necessarily has the greatest commitment to hygiene. I don't know.
Sean, I think though, to answer your first question,
yeah,
I think the Knicks are actually going to do it.
I mean, that's what America wants, I think.
Yeah, it's just like, it feels like a real Team of Destiny thing. I don't know what's going on. Like,
I mean, they're tough. They're not really as tough as Miami, but they're a great deal more talented.
Yes.
And I'm just not sure America is ready for the brutality of two more rounds of Miami Heat basketball. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you who's not ready. The Celtics or the Sixers, both who have Jimmy Butler history problems.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jimmy Butler couldn't even, like, bend his leg last year, and he was, like, a three-pointer away from sending them home.
And you know he would love to beat the Sixers.
They didn't
bring him back.
Man. Well, he did show up at that contract negotiation wearing a Sixers warm-up jacket with Sixers cut out of it. So,
speaking of Celtics Sixers, that series is also tied 1-1.
That's right. Big Joel game, James won the MVP. Came through. Oh yeah.
And they played just as well with B-ball Paul.
I'll say they played a little better. They played a little better. Even the Celtics were like, yeah, that's kind of tougher. Look, I get that he's coming back. He did block a lot of shots in game two. And I guess the idea was that he takes a while to play himself into shape anyway. Might as well just play him and get it over with. But didn't it kind of feel like the MVP was the thing he cared the most about this year? Yeah. I have a theory. I don't think I've shared with you on this podcast about how Joel Embiid finally got over the hump this year.
Oh, what was it?
Okay. So do you remember when he first was trying to make the All-Star team?
Yes.
What did he get Rihanna
to date him?
He was trying to get Rihanna to date him if he made the All-Star team. What happened this year? She performed at the Super Bowl, clearly pregnant. And I think that was enough for Joel Embiid to finally kill the boy and let the man live. Like he realized she's pregnant with her second child. She's probably not going to go on a date with me anymore.
I don't think that's why you won MVP. It's a good theory.
Okay.
I think he won MVP because Daryl Morey is the most annoying person on earth, and people just wanted him to shut up for once.
Yeah, they were just like, we don't even care who wins the MVP ever again.
Yeah.
As long as you stop arguing with me about it. By the way, Daryl Morey, we won't argue with you about that if you come on Round Ball Rock. We will exclusively talk to you about Broadway musicals Mandy Patinkin and your own self-produced musical Small Ball about a man named Michael Jordan.
By the way, speaking of an annoying 76ers GM, Sam Hinkie, you are not allowed to take a victory lap on Joel Embiid winning MVP.
He should have the obvious pick. It was the third pick.
The only reason he didn't go first draft. Was because he was hurt. Everyone said he should go first.
But also, he picked him third. It wasn't like, who else was he? I'm looking at this draft, Joey, because this is the 2014 NBA draft, if I'm not mistaken here. Okay, let's go through this. Number one pick, Andrew Wiggins. Number two pick, Jabari Parker. Jesus. Yeah. And associates. Number three pick was Joel Embiid. So he took him ahead of Aaron Gordon, Dante Exum, Marcus Smart, Julius Randle, and Nick Stauskas. Would any of those people have been realistically picked above Joel Embiid?
No.
Stauskas? If he's going to take a victory lap, he should also have to run down the streets of Philly naked while people throw trash and vegetables at him while Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor's highlights play on a jumbotron. Like you can't get credit for one of your center pick. You pick the center every year. One of those centers is going to work out.
So that game, Sean, the Celtics Sixers, well, this episode's not going to go up before that game is played.
Yeah.
This is probably going up Saturday morning would be my guess. Yeah. Celtics kicked the shit out of the 76ers in game two, which is generally what happens when the home team loses game one. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
I think the Celtics are going to win. Embiid is going to play less in game four, and Philly's going to steal a game. And it's going to create some real Ewing theory chatter, Joey.
Because I think the Celtics are about to win four games in a row. And I hate the Celtics.
They should win. The thing is, though, it's like the Celtics, it's you can talk about them like taking care of business or making mistakes and stuff, but like if they're making three pointers, they're very hard to beat. And if they're not making three pointers, they look shitty.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I mean, I don't know how deep the analysis is because I guess if they don't turn the ball over, they're hard to beat too.
Are weirdly, really bad at just dribbling the ball off their own feet.
Yeah,
you want to know why? Because they don't have a point guard.
Yeah, they still just have.
We're going on. I mean, they haven't had a point guard since Kemba Walker got hurt.
Uh huh. Yeah, they're like Malcolm Brogdon. He's off the bench, and yeah. The Celtics absolutely should win this series very quickly, but I still think Philly's going to steal one in Boston just because, you know, Boston fans, things get close and they start flashing back to that marathon and they tighten up.
I don't want to give Celtics fans credit for anything, but I don't see James Harden holding up to the power of Celtics chance at Celtics chance on Twitter.
Yeah, you're right. They're gonna be saying like Beardo.
They're gonna be like
shave it off. It.
They're gonna shave it off. We can smell it, chant.
Ooh, it's just gonna fall apart.
Speaking of crumbling, Chris Paul's body. He's hurt again. Sean,
who could have predicted it, Joey?
I don't know.
Also in game two, Devin Booker pretended he was going to fight someone.
Mm-hmm. He does that.
He does do that. And DeAndre.
It's too bad. KCP couldn't hold up one finger.
That would have been really funny. One ring.
Yeah, I've got one ring. Your DeAndre Ayton joke. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, DeAndre Ayton couldn't handle Nikola Jokic, and Ayton actually played this series over 1,200 times on NBA 2K, so he did predict that. Even a whole team of DeAndre Aytons with different
trench coats and avatars. The Suns are losing 2-0, but Kevin Durant is going to be in the next Call of Duty. So.
Oh. I actually watched his Billions scene today to pump me up for it.
Oh, how was it?
Well, so Axe is trying to get...
I actually don't care. Please don't.
Well, KD plays it pretty cool because Axe makes the rich guy. He's like, he's going to donate $50,000 to your foundation. And Kevin Durant's like, uh-huh. Kind of sounds like he'd donate $100,000 to my foundation. And then he's like, yeah, he probably would. And then Kevin Durant just goes, what's up, Steve? Happy bar mitzvah. It's Kevin Durant. And that's the whole scene.
Weird.
He had to prove that he's a really good businessman, Joey. So I'm pumped. I think he's going to have the power of Koppelman. It's going to compel him tonight.
Yeah, there is one thing I want to talk about before we preview the other series. Are the Nuggets gonna sweep the Suns? That's actually a question.
I mean, it could happen. The Nuggets definitely seem like a team that is going to let Phoenix steal game three at home. don't they have that vibe to you?
I don't know. The Nuggets are just rolling so hard.
They're rolling pretty hard. They're rolling like oh, man, I can't remember the name of the guy who got ejected from the Rolling Loud Festival, Joey.
It was Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson. Okay.
Sean.
They're not going to be able to deal with that Suns and Six guy. That's going to be his new thing.
So, Sean, before we preview the Lakers Warriors series with yes. our guest of the day, Amy Schneider, 40-time Jeopardy champion, I do want to ask you, there's one news story we should probably touch on that we haven't talked about. Dylan Brooks was told by the Memphis Grizzlies that he would not be returning under no uncertain circumstances.
No circumstances will he return to the team. Which is, I mean, considering the circumstances that have happened to the Memphis Grizzlies over the last couple of years, it's a bold claim. That's an all-encompassing promise.
So, Sean, I want you right now, off the top of your head, to say where you think Dylan Brooks is going to be playing basketball next season.
Oh, I hadn't really thought about it. It's weird because there aren't that many teams with Houston Rockets.
It's pretty good. I disagree, though. I have never once met someone who needs to be playing with Damian Lillard more in my life.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes, it's the perfect move because they are going to, well, they're going to be going it all in with no resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they already have to pay Grant this year as a free agent. They're already paying Nurkic. Throw in Dylan Brooks in that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah. I want him to go to Portland. Oh, that's great. That's going to be so tight.
He'll wear so many wild outfits and they will.
It's going to be so great. And like, I just want the power of. I just want Portland to rally behind Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, it'll be great. Corbin will have to watch Dylan Brooks every night.
I mean, he's not watching basketball, but
once a month.
I mean, but like that's what they need to do to keep Corbs in that Rolling Stone money. Think pieces on Dylan Brooks. Hell yeah. I thought you were going to ask me to think of circumstances where they still might sign Dylan Brooks. And I was like, I don't know. Dylan Brooks fights a fifth grade flag football team. Zaire Williams is lost at the mall because he followed the wrong set of shoes and they need Dylan to guide him back. I don't know. Like the team got too wide and couldn't fit on a bus. I don't know. What a weird team, Joey.
You know who Memphis should sign? To be the new
an adult?
Yes. And his name is Harrison Barnes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he'd be really good there.
Bring a weird nerd in there. Yeah. Chill everybody out. all right. all right, here we are with, let's go talk to Amy Schneider about Lakers Warriors, huh?
Yep.
We are here with our friend and yours. 40-time, am I right? 40-time Jeopardy winner, Amy Schneider? Is it more
that is
now?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I did also win the Tournament of Champions, so however you want to count that in. I think I'm generally referred to as America's sweetheart, Amy Schneider.
Yeah, it's
yeah
true.
That was actually in the rider, Joey.
Yeah, I forgot. When I was removing the brown M&Ms, I forgot. Amy is actually a huge Warriors fan, and we've known that since before she was on Jeopardy. Amy, how you feeling so far?
I am feeling good. You know, I thought to myself, game five, round one, whoever wins that is going to the finals. I was like, I don't see how, you know, I don't see what stands in the way of anyone at that point. And then obviously, you know, that was somewhat hubristic. And obviously any of the three remaining teams in the West could still potentially beat them. But like, it's, you know, it's kind of wide open. And then, you know, with the Bucks out, I mean, like who's left to really be super afraid of?
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good.
That's good because I went into game one being like, Anthony Davis is going to stomp whichever team wins this game seven. And then I remembered, oh, it's Anthony Davis. He does not play two good games in a row, generally.
Yeah.
No, he will. I didn't think we were going to sweep the Lakers.
it's interesting because I know that, you know, LeBron was kind of coasting a little bit in game two. He was taking a lot of outside shots and kind of like saving his energy for if the game was close in the fourth quarter. I would say that, I don't know if that's totally fair to LeBron, but that's kind of what I saw in game two. And see, now
in
I'm
game
just...
two, I saw the worst game I've ever seen LeBron James play. he got backdoor cut like so many times, like just ball watching, because he thinks he knows the plays. And then it's like, guess who else doesn't know the plays? Moses Moody and Jamichael Green. They don't play enough to know the plays, LeBron.
They're just running to the hoop when they see an opening.
For sure. Yeah, there but it's like, he's 38. You know, I was 38 once. I wasn't giving my all.
No. Joey, when was the last time you would say you gave your all? What age?
Well, physically? 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was 13. I was really dedicated to my eighth grade soccer team. And then I was like, I want to try out for the high school team, Mom. And she was like, you're not good enough. Don't do that. And so that was kind of it for my sports
career. Yeah, I think like the last time I really exerted myself in a sports manner, I was playing pickup basketball and I took a charge from a professional dancer named Rein, R-E-I-G-N, a man. And why was I trying to take a charge in a pickup game? I don't know. And then I bruised my ribs and my next month was miserable. And that's when I swore off effort and sport playing sports. I'm not good at I'm definitely not good enough at basketball to be injuring myself playing pickup. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I played basketball in, I think, like fifth and sixth or sixth and seventh grades because the parents had collectively made a rule that you had to invite all the boys to your birthday party. Uh-huh. But some of them made a loophole. It's like, I'm just inviting the boys on the basketball team, so I'm not excluding the nerds. And so I joined the basketball team just to get invited to parties. And in two seasons, I scored a total of 0 points, including on occasions when the coach would set up plays entirely to clear everybody out and just let me shoot at an open basket. And I still missed. So
my biggest basketball contribution ever is I played for a CYO team for my church in the Bay Area, and we made the semifinals, not thanks to me at all. We had these two cousins named Jerry and Reggie who were just gigantic 10-year-olds, and they played point guard. And in the semifinals, we were playing teams against Oakland because that's where the actual good players were. And my clutch contribution was being entered into the game in like a pity way. Maybe I was required to play, and I was in the game for like 10 seconds and someone bloodied my nose with an elbow. And I literally think he just didn't expect anyone that short to be playing forward, but I was too slow to play anywhere else. And that guy ended up fouling out thanks to accidentally, and I was bleeding enough that I mercifully was not allowed to come back in the game. And that was, everyone was able to nod and be like, that was the reason. Yeah. That was why.
Brilliant. Yeah.
We're worried about him. Okay. So one thing that stood out in this game is that the Lakers have, I forgot that Dennis Schroeder was famous for the level of his flopping. Because, you know, like James Harden's kind of the king, and there's other people who have had highlights, but Dennis Schroeder has now done it on like five different teams.
Right. Well, he learned from the best, Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like there's been more elite, but he's the like lunch pail, you know, journeyman flopper.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the blue collar. Yeah.
Yeah. A guy that's not getting any calls on rep. You know what I mean? He's he's just hitting the ground that hard and landing that awkwardly to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's where, you know, I feel like who would have been really good at that is the professional dancer Rein.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a professional dancer. That's gotta be.
Yeah. He actually, he was like, let me work on your footwork there when you were crashing to the ground. And That year, I also wore a bodysuit for Halloween, and because of my rib, I had to have someone else unzip the bag for me on Halloween because I had to pee. It was a really low, real low point. I'm like, how'd you hurt yourself? I'm like, well, have you heard of Juilliard? Well, they have a basketball team and
powerhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but like, to be fair, haven't all of us had our lowest points on Halloween?
100%. I have a question. Is there a Los Angeles Laker that you dislike the most?
Well, you know, once they traded Westbrook, I don't know, in history, like, and I guess I'm not supposed to say this anymore, but I fucking couldn't stand Kobe Bryant ever. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it is what it is. I'm not happy that he's dead, but I couldn't fucking stand him. And that was like what got me into basketball was rooting against whichever team he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see. I don't think it's unfair to say that you did always rooted against him, but do would have preferred that he was alive. Yeah. At the same time. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I don't think it's. I mean, like, there was a time when you could have gotten like Bill Maher for being like, well, those suicide bombers were pretty brave. And then you have to go on HBO and start doing cocaine again. And
now I just got to be like, you know, well, maybe he shouldn't have been in a helicopter. They're dangerous.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that a lot, especially like, OK, so I went to Nepal last year. And one thing that you see a lot is helicopters and like 5% of the time someone's injured, and then the other 95% of the time it's like a wealthy person just like didn't have the right coffee they wanted and someone's helicoptering it in. And so you find yourself going from I hope no one's dead to I wish that person was dead, like, very quickly.
Yeah. It's just their assistant flying it. Like, I don't know how to fly a helicopter. It's like, do it!
We need cognac!
So, Amy, I have a question for you. You were a Warriors fan before you, became a famous person from being really smart on Jeopardy. But how many games winning Jeopardy did it take before the Golden State Warriors started giving you free tickets?
Well, they've only given me free tickets for one game, but it was, it was probably about like a dozen games in or so.
Yeah.
It wound up being Klay Thompson's first game back.
Oh, that is like the best. Amazing. That's like the hottest ticket in town too.
Yeah. At the time. And they were, they were upper tier tickets, which I was like, come on, I'm famous. Like,
yeah.
But I did get into like the Chase Club where I did run into E-40. So like, you know, can't complain about that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And did you have him ejected from the arena?
Man is standing.
He was standing excessively. And I couldn't help but point that out to the nearest security guard. But and I did see either Tia or Tamara Lowry, but I can't tell which.
You know what? Neither could Jack A. So she was on that show, right?
She was. Yeah, she was.
All right.
Who is the Warriors' biggest celeb fan right now?
Well, it's Guy Fieri. It's always Guy Fieri.
Oh, I guess it is Guy Fieri.
But I mean, Zendaya was at the game last night, and that did go viral. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Clay did date her co-star from those Spider-Man movies for a while, right?
Didn't Clay date the
love interest from the first
Spider-Man movie? That sounds right. Actually.
Laura Herrick or something. I thought you were about to say
that he had dated her co-star from Euphoria, and I'm like, wait, Clay Thompson is dating trans women?
Yeah.
This is important news.
I mean, he's a real relaxed guy. He's like a he's the captain. You know what I mean? He's did you ever hear the story that Klay Thompson just has continued to just park his boat wherever he wants in San Francisco?
I have not heard that. No.
Yeah, there's a restaurant right by the Chase Center, and he would just park his boat there and just like leave it there. And eventually someone reached out to the team, and I think Mike Brown had to like smooth it over and buy him like a membership to the restaurant or something like that. But Clay was just going to keep leaving the boat there and just be like, are you going to tow Clay Thompson's boat? How does that even work?
Do you own the water? Like, yes. Yeah, come on now. No, I mean, well, you got to be careful though. I was for a 4th of July a couple of years ago, a friend chartered a boat and we went out to watch the fireworks out under the bay. Only it was a real shady operation and we got pulled over by the Coast Guard, like on the water. And it seemed like they were going to like confiscate the boat. And I was like, I don't know how to get home from boat jail, whatever that is. It was very concerning.
Yeah, you. One thing you didn't have to brush up on for Jeopardy was maritime law.
Yeah,
it's like the one thing you didn't study.
No, they do say that they promise not to ask any questions about maritime law. That's
The Merv Griffin Enterprises promise, I think.
He got in some trouble one time, and yeah.
In all your games, how many questions about how many answers about basketball did you face?
I'm not sure. Not a ton. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that I remember. I'm sure there were some specifically about basketball. Yeah. Honestly, like the only questions I remember are the ones I got wrong.
Right.
And so primarily the sports one I got wrong is where I saw Johnny Unitas on the screen, thought that's Johnny Unitas, and then opened my mouth and said, who is Joe Namath? And I have no idea why, and I'm still so upset about it. But
have you gotten any free tickets from any other Bay Area teams?
Well, I've thrown out first pitches at the Giants and at the A's.
Okay,
came with free tickets at the Giants game.
Wait,
Larry
they don't
Bear
make you leave
like,
after you do that?
I can see the A's doing that, where they're like, "Can I see your ticket, ma'am?" And
no, the A's do not. They were like, it was like, "How many tickets do you want, like, for people to come with you?" And Genevieve was like, "Is there a limit?" And I was like, "It's the A's. No. There are 25,000 open seats. We can bring as many people as we want."
Yeah, it's like going to a TV taping of an unpopular sitcom, basically.
I was actually telling everybody, I think it was your bit, Sean, about like, you know, the Giants are so fancy and then the A's, it costs $2 and it doesn't have to be cash.
Yeah, no, it does not have to be American money at all. Yeah. Also, Joey, were you there? No, you weren't there. So I was there for the playoffs in 2006 and we had tickets in the outfield and we got there probably like 45 minutes early because it was really exciting. And we passed the bathroom outside the left field section and a sign said closed for private event. And that was amazing.
I've seen that. I've seen them do that before though. Yeah. I was not at that specific game.
Yeah, but
I've been to those events. I can't really talk about it.
But. Oh, my God.
I actually want to ask you about throwing out a first pitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that is something that will never happen to me. How nervous were you?
I was reasonably nervous. I hadn't picked up a baseball since, again, I was about 13. Mm-hmm. And so I got my one and only sports fan friend, which is another thing, by the way. I grew up in Ohio, moved out to the Bay Area in 2009, and nobody is into sports. And it was just shocking to me because in Ohio, everybody at least has to pretend that they're into local sports. But that's been a weird adjustment. So I had one friend that is a sports friend that went out to a park and like let me practice throwing a first pitch to him. And, I was confident that I wasn't going to, you know, all I needed to do was not go viral. Right.
Yeah, right.
So it was like, and I was confident I could do that. But I wanted to impress people and show that I have some athletic talent, even though I don't. So, yeah. There was definitely some nerves involved.
But you were better than both Steph and Ayesha Curry at throwing out the first pitch.
I believe so. Like it was in the dirt. But it was like in the dirt in a way that like a professional pitcher could have thrown it in the dirt. Like they would have done it 30 miles an hour faster, but like it wasn't like crazy out of the. Yeah.
When you do it a second time, are you less nervous?
Well, I mean, I was partly because it was an afternoon A's game. Mm-hmm. So again, there was nobody there to see. you know, I was hoping to throw a strike that time, and I didn't that time either. So like that was kind of a bummer, but it was, you know, it was fine. And it was like, I didn't accept the Giants game until the A's had also offered me. I was like, I'm not going to just do the Giants. God damn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's fine. I appreciate that.
See,
I
would turn down the Giants, but that's because I am a freak.
Yes.
Well, again, I'm ultimately a Cincinnati Reds fan, so it's like,
yes.
Well, you know, the Giants have broken my heart in some ways, and you know, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you actually have one up on the A's from 1990.
Oh yeah. Oh man. And Tommy Hall in my school, who was an Air Force kid, was like an A's fan and a 49ers fan, and had just celebrated them beating the Bengals in the Super Bowl a couple years before. And so we were all very excited to get our revenge on Tommy Hall.
Yeah, that was a conflicted World Series for me, because I'd been going to A's and Giants games, but then the A's had beaten the Giants the previous year, and I really loved Eric Davis. Mm-hmm. And then the Reds ended up winning, and he like dove for a fly ball and lost a kidney or something like that after.
Uh-huh. And Marge Schott would not like pay for his medical treatment, and he ended up leaving the team. I did a podcast about Marge Schott a few weeks ago, and just like being reminded of all the insanity that
such
entailed.
A cool
yeah.
lady, right?
Well, I mean,
in certain ways,
there was so much strange stuff. And then I remember, I don't know why, she was just so unpleasant, that like the Nazi stuff, you were kind of like, yeah, I could see that. But then when she fired Davey Johnson for living with his fiance without being married, that was, and I just remember thinking, like, did she know he managed the worst? He managed the 86 Mets. Like, that's like being the leader of a street gang. Like, yeah. like Davey Johnson's probably like, that's the thing I got fired for. You clearly didn't do any like deep dives.
He's just lucky he didn't. He's just lucky he didn't wear an earring, or she would have been really pissed.
Oh yeah, that would have been it.
All right, so back to the Warriors.
Oh yeah.
So you moved from Cleveland. Sorry, well, from Dayton, Ohio. Like, Dayton, yeah,
Dayton.
Sorry,
that is the standard when I say I'm from Ohio. They're like, oh, Cleveland? No,
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 no.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said Cleveland, because I even knew it wasn't Cleveland. So you moved from Ohio. How do you pick in 2009 the Golden State Warriors as your team?
Yeah,
that is a great question. I did not intend to, because again, I was a fan of two teams that have been terrible for a while. The Bengals in particular had been terrible on an epic scale, and the Warriors had as well, essentially. But like, they drafted Steph Curry. And, you know, I'd been a fan of his in college.
From Ohio. You were like, this guy's from Ohio? He moved. He's born in Akron. I mean, did you not know that?
I mean, like, he's from Ohio.
He's not
in some
from
sense.
Ohio, but yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, you know, I liked him. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then, you know, I would just, you know, put the game on while I was, like, you know, doing chores around the house or whatever, and kind of be paying attention. And then, like, about a year later, I was like, wait a minute, shit, I'm kind of invested in this now.
Mm-hmm. You're like, you know, love Anthony Tolliver.
Ronnie Turioff. And, like, yeah, you know, and it was, like, Don Nelson and like, you know, and Monte was fun. I, like, oh, my God. It was just, like, I was so annoyed with myself because, like, great, now I'm going to have three shitty teams to follow for the rest of the time.
And you can't really ever get out. Like even people I hear who are like, oh, I gave up on that team, you're never actually out.
Yeah.
I mean, I have virtually given up on the Bengals. Like, you know, it wasn't easy to watch their games out here. The NFL is evil, even by sports standards, and I'd kind of stopped caring. But they were in the Super Bowl, and by God, I watched every minute and was really devastated when they lost in the exact same way as the last time they were in the Super Bowl, where it was like they'd been leading and that they, like, you know, and it was like, oh, they've given them just enough time. They're going to go down the field and win.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah. And I was like, I was sure I was past this team. I was sure I had stopped caring, and then nope, still cared.
Yeah. Yeah, they got you like 35 years later, too, which is that's how it stings the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, the You know, it is funny, though, because some I had a friend who was working on a non-union joke. Mm-hmm. It was just a joke for Instagram. Mm-hmm. No one was paying. He's not a scab. He's also not in the union. So anyway, but he just said,
generally aren't. That's yeah. The whole thing. But anyway,
and he was just like, what's like a sports team that would be the perpetual underdog? And at first I started to explain to him the history of the Washington Generals. And I thought he does not want to learn this information. He needs a sports name. And I was like, and I was tempted to say Cincinnati Bengals. And I thought, no, they're good. They're going to be good. In fact, for like, I mean, they're gonna just not be bad for another decade. Yeah. So I said, like, pick between the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, I would have said the Knicks for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah. Speaking of basketball. I knew that there was some kind of adjustment happening, and then it was like I had this whole moment of like, you know, by God, that's Jermichael Green's music.
Yeah.
It was just like shocking. Like, somebody that I knew he was on the team, but you sort of forget. And then there he is in the starting lineup.
Well, my friend had even texted me and said, starting Green, huh? I can't believe they're sitting Looney. And I thought, oh, well, I get that they want to split up those bigs. And he was like, no, they're starting both Greens. And I was like, both Greens? And then I remembered, like, oh, right, they're that other guy who played four minutes in game one. And
you were envisioning Draymond Green, and then the Draymond Green with like a mustache that comes out after he's been ejected and tries to keep playing in the game.
Right. Yeah. No, this is Raymond Green.
Yeah. I guess it worked. Like, I don't know how much of an impact the wrong Green had, but like, you know, you can't complain about the results.
I mean, he had 15 points, so it's got to be some impact. The Lakers are so funny because they like their whole plan was, we're just going to leave the bigs open. And because they did it in game one, too. And then they put in Jermichael Green, and it was like, they just forgot that this guy's like a 38% career three.
It's like the
shooter.
Reason he's in the league now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it made sense when I think about it. And I know Looney was sick, but I was watching the game at this bar in North Beach with a friend. And like, it was the first time I've been out, like having drinks in the city, you know, since 2020. And it was like a great time. Mm-hmm. But I was saying in the Kings series, Looney was a better version of Sabonis. Mm-hmm. And in this series, he's a worse version of Davis.
Yeah.
So you've got to like do things differently.
Yeah.
I just, it's very strange that Steve Kerr picked the guy no one thought he would.
I thought they might start Gary Payton, and then they didn't play him at all when the game was competitive. Yeah. And you thought they might even start Kuminga, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you didn't really think that.
I want them to start Kuminga.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened to him exactly. It's one of those things where it's like between Moody and Kuminga, it's like Kerr is obviously always liked Moody more. And it does make sense. But it's like watching Moody, you never see any one thing particularly special. And then Kuminga, you'll see things where like, oh, shit, like he's got that athleticism and that sort of thing. But
well,
he's just not overall as good.
It seems like the problem is, at least from where I'm standing, Kerr can only stomach playing one young player at a time. So it's like, in the regular season, it was Kuminga, who was like their seventh man. and Moses Moody, I looked it up, had 32 DNPs this year. And yet the playoffs started, it was immediately no more Kuminga, time for Moody. And it's like, you can play both of them. Yeah. Like in a game.
Well, he
the one thing that of Steve Kerr's that I genuinely feel I'm like, he's obviously a great coach, and I don't know enough about basketball to criticize certain things, like you know, like rotations and all of that, but like his veteran fetish, I'll never forgive him for Anderson Varejao, like, essentially, is what I'm saying here.
Yeah, no, you're correct. for doing that. It's the angriest I've been maybe ever in my entire life. Because the other
he brought him in two separate times,
well, but
right?
But then the other upsetting thing about it is everyone blames Festus Ezeli. They're like, he put in Festus Ezeli, and it was like, yeah, but Festus Ezeli was at least good that season. Like, yeah. Anderson Varejao was in for 3 minutes before falling down.
And they went back to that well.
Yeah, and I mean, I can imagine it being a coach thing where it's like veterans might fail, but they'll fail doing the thing you wanted them to do. Uh-huh. And Rookie's like, who knows? But yeah,
it's bizarre too because it feels like we're on the brink of Moses Moody like passing Jordan Poole in the playoff rotation. Now that might have been because Jordan Poole decided to come out wearing socks. As far as I could tell at the beginning, he fell down about five times in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jordan Poole could string two quarters together without throwing the ball away in the last 30 seconds, that would be great.
Yeah.
I would love that. Like it's, you know, I was such a fan of him last year and so such a believer, and it's been, I mean, I don't know. I think, like, does he have small hands? Like, I genuinely think that he, you know.
Yeah, he's like the Alex Smith school, maybe.
Sean and I actually have a very specific theory about Jordan Poole that we've actually never said in public that I'm going to.
Oh, yeah, we
I'm
haven't actually said this,
here.
Yeah.
If you watch commercials or moments when Jordan Poole is not in the game, he wears glasses, prescription glasses.
Yeah, when he's doing public appearances, when he did the puppy drive, when he's I
when
still
he's
don't
in that
understand
NBA.com commercial. He's
I don't
wearing
understand.
Glasses.
I don't understand what they're advertising in the one where he and Wiggins materialize to play pickup.
I don't know, but
I don't know what they're selling there.
Sean and I have a feeling he cannot see on the basketball court.
This is a Rudy Gay, early career Rudy Gay situation where his vision is just terrible.
Yeah.
And that's why he does some of the things. He can't tell where out of bounds is.
Yeah.
And this is the one thing that Celebrini is not qualified to diagnose.
Yeah, no, he's exactly. not. He's like, not an optometrist. Yeah. He's.
Yeah.
And he would have him doing like weird isometric eye exercises, which wouldn't really get at the heart of the problem. But he's like, man, the core of my retinas is really strong right now. But that still doesn't really solve the problem.
Yeah.
And he's a little too far away from Bryce James, LeBron's middle son, who wears Kareem style goggles when he plays because he wears glasses. We need to get back to a point where people are wearing glasses like Kurt Rambis when they play.
No. I see no downside to this. Like, come on.
Okay, I have a question about how your experiences on Jeopardy may have affected your NBA fandom.
All right.
Do you believe that the first time a player goes to the foul line for free throws in a game, they should have to share a personal anecdote with the referee?
No, I don't. That is garbage. I hated it as a person watching Jeopardy. I hate it as a person on Jeopardy. Like, it's very, it just kills the whole flow of the game for nothing. And yeah, I mean, basically, but what you're describing is essentially the beginning of quarter interviews they do with the coaches.
Yeah, so, which are also, well, I was thinking too, because you had to come up with so many of those.
Mm-hmm.
And did you really feel like you were just scraping the bottom of the barrel by the end of your run? Or
I absolutely did. Had I finished out that taping day and come back the next week, I would have made some up.
Yeah.
Like 100%. I was out.
Next time they have you for a Tournament of Champions or perhaps Jeopardy Masters or whatever is happening.
Jeopardy should, Extreme.
Yeah, you should tell Jeopardy X Holy Moly. they should have you. You should tell that story Jeff Van Gundy told last night about being Jeffarino hot dog buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane. And there were people who were surprised. He told that in the fourth quarter, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And our friend Harrison, who does the Laker Nation man, SB Nation basketball guy, was complaining. He's like, yeah, this game's really out of hand. And I had to tell him that a couple months ago during a nationally televised game, Jeff Van Gogh just started talking about how much he hated Leftovers, which was such a weird, and it took a long time because Mike Breen was like trying to get him to describe like all Leftovers, like any not fresh food. And he was like, you know, Leftovers, but your mom made you eat Leftovers. And Mike Breen's looking at his watch like, there are 2 hours to go in this telecast.
My theory is that Jeff Van Gundy no longer likes basketball.
Like, no, because he gets really excited if you mention the Houston Texans, mm-hmm. but not if you mention any basketball team. Also, Joey, do you remember that story about Van Gundy making, like, driving between playoff locations?
I was just going to tell that.
Yeah, story. Yeah, yeah.
So, Amy, at one point 2 years ago, Jeff Van Gundy told a story about how he drove from New Orleans to Houston.
New Orleans to what?
Houston, I think.
No, it was longer than that. It was like
to Cleveland then.
Yeah, New Orleans to Cleveland, something like that. It was something like a 13-hour drive.
But he said that he did it with no music.
Yeah. He didn't listen to the radio.
He was like,
or
I don't
audiobook.
Listen to the radio. I don't listen to music. I don't listen to books. I just drive.
And it's like, yeah, you can tell Jeff Van Gundy loves silence so
just
much.
Just a miserable man from Martinez.
Yeah, he's from the same place as me, basically. Which is weird. Like, and it's funny because with Stan, I'm like, oh, absolutely, this guy's from Martinez. And with Jeff, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if this would have worked.
I feel like, I don't know. He spent time in New York. I feel like that changes people.
Yeah,
he
left Yale to go to like a junior college because he got cut from the basketball team, which is, that's a commitment to basketball, I would say.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I guess it worked out for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just can't imagine that phone call with your parents. Like, guys, yeah. So I still have my scholarship at Yale, but. Yep. There's a community college outside of Boston. And
I know I did have an offer for a Supreme Court clerkship, but nope. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good. Man. Oh, in terms of game shows, have you seen those commercials for the Cube?
I've seen some. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say, I don't think they got the highest level of celebrities to be the guests.
It says, with celebrity guests, Shaq, Iman Shumpert, and more.
Like, I think, Gabrielle Union is on the show, too, but she almost doesn't count.
Shaq to Iman Shumpert is like, how many tiers of celebrity is that?
I mean, it's like the leap from Shaq to Iman Shumpert.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
There was a guy whose name I didn't recognize at all. I'm gonna look him up. Singer Jimmy Allen.
Don't know who he is.
I think he's a country singer.
A country singer who has not appeared on the in the NBA celebrity game. Then I don't know who he is.
He is black, so he may have. If you are a black country singer, you are automatically invited at least to the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. But Kane Brown's going to shoot a lot.
I have a publicist, and the publicist is like batting around the idea of trying to get me onto Dancing with the Stars. So I watched the last season, a couple episodes, and I was like, yeah, I know about 40% of these celebrities, so I would not feel out of place there.
But yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, because the thing about it is, it's like, all when I'm out in public and when I get recognized, like all the time it'll be somebody that's like, oh my God, and then say to their friend or whoever, oh my God, you know who this is? And they'll be like, no. Because like everybody who watches Jeopardy assumes that everybody else watches Jeopardy, but they do not. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I'm a celebrity within a very specific group.
Yeah. That's the best kind of celebrity, though.
It is, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't complain.
You know, I accidentally went to a bar in L.A. that was like almost like a Ringer weekly celebrity tournament. Not like the Ringer, but I mean, I went there just because my friend was in LA for like we watched the A's wild card game like 3 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he the bar was by the airport. But for whatever reason, we start coming in. And I'm like, I think that's that Brad Rutter guy from Jeopardy. And then I'm like, I'm seeing all these other Jeopardy people. And it was like a random bar in Santa Monica. And the whole time I was like, we shouldn't play this bar trivia. It was very hard. It was very hard.
I have not been there, but I'm familiar with the bar you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like LA's so weird that way in that there's also a bar that people from the Real World Road Rules Challenge hang out at.
Uh-huh.
The Saddle Ranch. If you go there, you will see someone who was on like a Real World from 1998.
Oh,
Barney's Beanery,
like,
too. They flip from there. It's very weird.
Beanery. Yeah. So it's definitely a level of celebrity. Yeah. I also watched game one of the NBA finals at that same bar, but it wasn't on Wednesday night or whenever that was. And I remember watching that and thinking, I'm glad Harrison Barnes is finally going to have a great NBA finals.
Well, yeah.
After
the
game
one,
because he was
the one. Yeah.
He was so good.
I've done trivia down there. It was with, I've got my two LA friends that I met when I was at the Queerty Awards, who both met while working at TMZ. And so like I hang out with them and I went to their trivia and I was really trying to talk the other contestants in this Jeopardy Masters thing. That after our last taping day on Wednesday, we just all go there and play as a single team. It didn't work out. Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you one other. I have two. Okay, so the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game this year had a couple of innovations. They had a 4-point shot. That's not, I mean, they're kind of ripping that off Ice Cube's Big Three League, but whatever. Unlock a legend, and that allowed people to unlock a legend for a single quarter. However, the only legends available were Richard Jefferson and Carlos Boozer. But
two
the interesting
very
thing
different rookie sophomore experiences, by the way.
They really man, did you? Oh yeah, you probably weren't a Warriors fan then, Amy, but there was a year where Gilbert Arenas and Jason Richardson were both in the rookie sophomore game. And near the end of the game, Jason Richardson got the ball at the 3-point line, bounced it off his forehead
on purpose, and then
drained a three. Yeah.
It was the greatest moment. He then won the dunk contest the next day. And it was the greatest moment as a Warriors fan up to that point of living.
Yeah, because it was like, well, they're never going to get a real All-Star again. So this is as good as it's going to get.
I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, a Red won the home run derby. And I was like, this is it. This is the pinnacle from now on.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing they did was they had a 2-minute period where the point values were doubled. And everybody thought it was just for the team that hit the Ruffles crunch time button, but it turned out it was just for both teams, so it was kind of random. Should any of these ideas be incorporated into the NBA playoffs, and is Ruffles crunch time just a daily double?
Well, I mean, I do like the idea that like the last 60 seconds of the Jeopardy round, all the point values are doubled. I mean, look, it works for Papa Shot, so you know, why not the actual NBA? No. These are, of course, terrible ideas. No, they should not be allowed. Yeah, I did.
I don't know. Ruffles 4-point line, where it's zigzagged like a ruffle chip.
Ooh, yeah.
We are all pro-capitalism here, so yeah.
I think we can all agree on that. The one rule change I proposed once was, I think it was Bogut. Took a 3-point shot, made it, but his toe was like barely on the line. And I was like, if you have never made a 3-point shot in your career and your toe is on the line, it counts for three.
Yeah.
Like, that's my rule.
I like that.
Like, you get the one.
My proposed rule change is dunks should count for four. That's just me. But you have to
Our friend Kelly Dwyer has proposed that banked in threes only count for two, because clearly you weren't trying to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is the last Jeopardy related thing I have, and I've phrased it in the form. And anyway, this is the member of the We Believe Warriors I'd most like to see on the current team.
No,
I read it in that voice.
No, that's,
not anyone who's ever.
You know, it was fine.
Better than Aaron Rodgers. All right.
What if this question gets a jar of clay to drink?
I mean, it's, you know, it feels like straight, you know, I mean, I'm going to say Baron Davis. Like, that's just, you know, what I'm going to say. Like, I would like to come up with a cooler answer. But, like, I also wasn't there. I was watching it as a neutral fan, that series. So, like, I don't remember that clearly. It was just very exciting to see a shitty team win for a change, you know.
Had
the matchups worked out any other way, I would have been so excited to root the Kings on, you know, in this playoffs. It would have been, like, kind of the same deal.
Also, I think the Kings would have won a series if the matchups had been different for them. Meaning the Clippers stink. That's what I'm saying, guys.
I think that's fair.
What was funny about that year, too, is that the Warriors ended up having these celebrity fans who had literally never been showing up before, because Baron Davis, for whatever reason, went to a performing arts high school. So he went to Crossroads, which is where our friend Guy Branum has said that your senior project used to be show running a season of Wings.
Yeah.
That's how you had to do to graduate. So, like, everyone was like, why are Jessica Alba and Kate Hudson at these games? And then it was because they were like high school buddies with Baron Davis. And that's also how Owen Wilson began playing at Don Nelson's poker game.
Oh, yeah. Well,
in Hawaii.
And then Owen Wilson became such good friends with Don Nelson that he took him to the Academy Awards one year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
There was a year, I think it's the year Sirianni wins, where Don Nelson is sitting behind George Clooney. They keep showing George Clooney, and he has a mustache. It's great.
If there was a former Warriors coach I was going to be friends with, it would be Don Nelson.
100%.
Yeah.
In fact, is the former We Believe Warrior I would like to bring back. Sorry, Steve Kerr.
You're out.
Don Nelson, you're in.
the other thing that was great is that it led to, I think it was Matt Barnes told the story about how they were all smoking weed after beating the Mavericks. And he claimed they were with Woody Allen smoking weed. Mm-hmm. And clearly he meant
Woody Harrelson.
For a day, people were like, Don Nelson knows everybody. Wow. Are the Warriors canceled?
No. We were all still fine with Woody Allen back then.
Yeah. He was winning Oscars with Don Nelson in the aunt. Maybe that's how they would have met. I don't know.
Well, Amy, we've hit the 45-minute mark. I think we're going to let you go. You've been awesome. What is your prediction for the rest of this series?
I think Warriors in six. Like, you know, the Lakers will, you know, I will stop fearing LeBron James when he has officially retired for multiple years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I can't say I'm 100% confident, but, you know, I think that they've got this. Like, you know, I mean, I just think that the Lakers don't have anything besides, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which isn't nothing, but they'll be able to find a way to scheme around that because there's nothing else that threatens them.
All right. My final question for you.
Yeah.
Which Laker tomorrow is Draymond Green gonna do something villainous to?
Hachimura.
Yeah.
No, I could say that. Yeah.
I was thinking Vanderbilt, but Hachimura also a great guess.
Well, I mean, I just want them to show. I mean, it seems so long ago that the Warriors were in Japan in the preseason, Rui made this really heartfelt speech in perfect Japanese, and then Draymond went, Konnichiwa! And then said something.
Well, like, then he said he wants to live in Tokyo someday. I'll never forget that. Well, I was like, Draymond Green wants to move to Tokyo?
He contains multitudes.
All right. Like, reality show right now. Draymond in Tokyo. Like, just that's, yeah.
And Amy, where can our listeners find you? And is there anything specific you want to plug?
Well, I'm Jeopard Amy on the socials. So, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the smoking remains of Twitter. The Jeopardy Masters series is going to be airing shortly, and I'm in that. More importantly, my book is coming out in October. In the Form of a Question is the title. And I want everybody to buy it because I would like to get another book deal after this one is published.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll have you back on in October when that book comes out to remind people.
Or when you need the pre-orders to hit, whatever works best. So.
Yeah, well, we can be back in October to discuss all the NBA action in October. That'll be great.
That's when you get season previews, though. It's actually perfect.
Yeah, by the way, we were at one time the number 7 sports podcast in Senegal. That's so yeah. You might have a few more friends in West Africa than you realize.
What up the car? Yeah.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Amy. That was great. Sean, is there anything you want to plug?
You can see me at Comedy Oscar in Oakland, California. It's a fun show on Tuesday, May the 9th.
Get the tacos.
I don't know if the taco place is open. It's in the parking lot.
I bet. Yeah, I bet.
I mean, those tacos are really good if they're really open. Good. Yeah.
Great. And anything else you need to mention?
Oh yeah, I have an upcoming album called America's Uncle Dad. We will keep updates there. Warriors stuff at Golden State of Mind, NBA stuff at Yard Barker, Giants stuff at Giants Baseball Insider, nothing at all, my TikTok. I think I might have a stand-up clip about the police this week coming up. Get ready.
The actual police?
It's the organization.
So Stuart Copeland,
you're off the hook for now. Right. For now.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. Actually, I'll do a real plug first. I was on the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast this week, talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees with River Butcher and Jimmy Pardo. And the Rock Hall peeps. It was
you know
fun.
What I got really annoyed about, Joey? Really tried to avoid find out who got inducted because I knew you guys. I wanted to hear you guys learning in real time.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, the local news reported it.
Jesus.
I mean, why was I watching the local? I don't know.
Well, what's crazy is stay for the reveal at the end of that podcast where you learn Joe Quazzala voted for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
What?
Yep.
He oh, my God.
Loves the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame so much. He started a podcast. He thought no one would listen. It became so popular in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame circles that they gave him a vote.
So he's like the guy that was like a true hoop blogger and then got drafted into the NBA.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah.
Yes. Love Joe, love Kristen. Good job, guys. And then you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 4 days ago I tweeted, I miss rollerblading.
There's no way he hasn't been horribly injured doing that in the past.
Sean, is there a song you want us to hear?
Oh, you know, that's good.
Do you have a Dylan Brooks one? I forget.
I don't have a Dylan Brooks song. I have
How do you not have a Dylan Brooks song?
I haven't done that many songs this year, Joey. I will. I promise. I have now been back in this country enough. On the next episode, this is my pledge. We will have a special Towns Van Zandt parody song next week, next Great. Episode.
What about this episode? Which song do you want me to play?
Oh yeah. How about I'm only sweeping a song about the 2019 Western Conference Finals in honor of Dylan Brooks's team next year, the Portland Trailblazers.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Hey, if you're hiring in LA, let me know. I really need a job.
When Boogie got hurt early in the playoffs, Draymond Green needs a day off. When Andre Iguodala strained his calf, trailed by 15 in the first half, in the first half. Clay is tired, watch for Myers, left Steph open for three. They're only sweeping. Everybody thought the Dubs were loaded, but then KD's calf exploded. All the bench rotations went to hell. Had to lean on Jordan Bell. What the hell? Damian Jones got a star, a curb brain fire. But after all, they're only sweeping. Keeping an eye on the Currys wearing their split jerseys. They're rooting for Steph, but the coaching staff gets rolling sevens. They even played Jacob Evans. Give the ball to Dre, Steph bombs away. And after all, they're only sweeping. Keep an eye on the Portland small market energy. Blaming the refs. Dame says Portland would have won with Nurkic. Zach Collins fouls Kanter's Turkish. When Dame tried to take the winning shot, Draymond Green got the block. What a swat. Quinn Cook's puny, can't stop Looney. Bogut got a jam, they're only sweeping.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.